Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Brew It or Screw It, a Commander deck building podcast. I am your host, Cody, alongside my good friend, Laz.
Hey, how's it going?
How's it going, Laz? This time, it has been a while since we recorded.
It really has. We got a little caught up last month with the brew review. I think you were sick, then I was sick, then I was sick again. The joys of having two kids in daycare. So it was a difficult month to try to coordinate and get together. So we did skip a brew review last month, but here we are, full force for an awesome Brew or Screw It, I think, personally.
I'm really excited for this one. I think it's actually one where we got to sit down and you actually got to play the deck and you did really, really well with it.
I did. Okay.
Just beat us down into the dirt.
This
me mainly. Just right into the dirt.
Oh, I beat everybody.
Actually, I think you hit every... You killed everybody. You did the old headshots.
I killed our buddy Mike, and then I killed you and Nick together. Or something like that.
But, oh, you know what? Nick proliferated and got me with infect counters. Sorry. So you did, but you did hit two people to death.
I killed the most... Enough people. How about that?
Yeah. I'm trying to think. What was the last time we played before that? Did we play last week?
Yeah, I think we played some games with...
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we played some with Mike and some with Alan. And
I was playing Alondra a bunch. And
won one?
Yeah, with... I played one of your decks.
So you've won with Slimefoot, the deck that we ended up turning Wilson into.
Mm-hmm.
And then you won with your Alondra deck. And now you've won with the deck we're going to talk about today. But yeah, you've been on a roll.
Apparently. I don't know. It doesn't feel like it. I just think it's funny because I played Slimefoot unbeknownst to you. One of the perks of doing a podcast together is I have access to Cody's Moxfield account. So we booted up to play a game one night and he's like, oh, what are you playing? He's like, oh, I have one of those. And as he's like, you're playing my deck, aren't you? And then I proceeded to beat you with your own deck, so.
You did.
It was a good time, so.
It was good. I got to see what the deck did, so I'm pretty excited.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Be easier to talk about now. It's
going to be brewed one of these days.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I've been having some troubles with my decks.
Why?
Because I feel like I'm really... I brewed a tally, mono-red tally
deck. That was fun.
Oh, I don't think it was that fun for you, Laz. It wasn't fun for me, I can tell you that much.
It wasn't fun? You stole my Akroma's Will, I think it was?
I think I saw your Beacon of Immortality.
That's what it was.
Yeah, and I stole Alan's Akroma's Will.
Ugh.
And hit you for 12. So I understand.
It's like 12 Commander, I think.
Yeah, 12 Commander, yeah. Painful. Turns out, Tally is a heat magnet. Gets removed a lot.
Shocker.
I think that game... He ended up costing 12 mana at some point, and I was like, I'm out of this game. I can't do anything. I've just kind of run into this thing where I'm like, we know we talked a while back about depowering decks and like not playing stuff that's like having to win on turn 4. And so I've been trying to like, as I descale, I'm also trying to like rebuild decks. Like right now I have like legitimately two decks that I enjoy playing, and one is Gandalf Spellslinger, and one is my Humans deck. And that's really kind of the only ones I'm enjoying at the moment.
Which is crazy. Thank God you're playing that Spellslinger deck. Man, I try to pay attention to what you're doing half the times, and it's like I would have missed like 5 triggers by the time you're going in for combat. So better you than me, because I would not be able to play that deck. It's just too much going on, too many moving pieces. But you seem to enjoy
it. It's been fun. Yeah, it's fun. I find it dirtles a lot where like I'm like I just need one more card and like I can get this going. And like a big issue I'm running into is like Gandalf is, if I don't have something to blink Gandalf with, he is kind of useless at times. And so like that's why the other day I didn't chat, I was like, hey, what do y'all think about this deck? You got over, it's like, it's an is it deck, it's doing its thing, and I'm like, well no, like I wanna like, do you think Gandalf's not the right fit? Like, what do you... I want opinions.
Oh, I think you could definitely have a better commander in there, but the goal wasn't to have the most powerful Is It Spellslinger deck. Your goal was to build a Gandalf deck. And yeah, and you which did.
It is a candle deck,
and
yeah.
it does do well. It's just, I do like, wait, didn't we have one game where I killed Gandalf like two or three times? I kept sending him back to command zone, and
oh, yeah,
you were so pissed off at me.
It's a game you won with Alondra, so you countered it. And I was like, well, I'm out of this game because that's the third time he's gone to the command zone, so I cannot recast him at this point. See,
no one ever expects me to counter because I play blue in like one deck, maybe two decks now. I just never, and even those decks, I have, I think, maybe two counter spells in them. It's funny because I've been playing a lot on Moxfield, so I have all my cards, and I just had like the last bunch of cards that I purchased, and then that's right when I started doing the Moxfield, so I kind of just threw them in a case and forgot about them, and then since then it's been kind of hectic with a toddler. So it's just been like sitting high up in a closet in a box. And I'm like, oh, let me go through there the other day. And man, what was in there? Just a Force of Negation, like unsleeved, like everything, just a Force of Negation rolling around in there. I was like, oh, yeah, I should probably put this in one of the decks.
Yeah.
It was like, I had a little hard case from Card Kingdom filled with cards. And I was like, there's a lot of good cards in here that I bought or opened and then just forgot all about, so I have to physically go and power up some of my decks instead of just doing it digitally.
Yeah, I mean, damn, that's a Force of Negation is hanging out.
Yeah,
yeah, that's kind of where I've been with the Magic lately. Kind of just trying to figure out my decks and things like that. Since it has been a while since we recorded, we've gone from Commander Masters releasing to now Wilds of Eldraine. We're recording this on pre-release day. But hey, we still have that giveaway going. By the time you listen to this, we have probably announced the winner on our Twitter and Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
But we're giving away that Eldrazi Precon as a thank you guys. Because we're like homing in on 1,000 listens across all podcasts. So
insane.
Thank you.
Insane.
Very insane.
My daughter's talking to me. She's like, oh, you know, if you get enough listens, then YouTube will send you a play button. I'm like, oh, that's cute. One that it doesn't work for podcasts. Two, that's never going to happen. She's like, it'll happen. I'm like, thanks, honey.
So it is going to be really weird when we hit 1,000 listens and YouTube sends us a play button. Like, what's going on? Like, what?
You know, I should just see if I could, like, get one made online and just be like, oh, you were right.
Oh, my gosh.
Thanks, honey.
Yeah, but hey, we're here to talk about a deck.
That's right.
You have brewed.
I have brewed this deck. This one was a long time in waiting. It really was.
Yeah. You talked about this deck, I think, like 3 to 4 months ago.
Oh, it's been longer than that, too, because this is actually, well, the commander is Ishin, Two Heavens as One, which is a little bit of a shock because I don't like to pick top commanders for the podcast because, you know, anyone could learn how to make a King Kenrith deck or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's not as much fun to listen to. But Ishin was a card that, even when they first spoiled it from Kamigawa, this is one of the cards that I pre-ordered because I'm like, oh, this card's going to be so expensive. It's not. It's 70 cents still. But I was like, this card's broken. This card's fantastic. But the problem is it's Mardu, and people think Mardu is trash for whatever reason. And I was like, I think I can come up with something for this. And then, you know, other decks got in the way. And then my brother-in-law ended up building an Ishin deck, which has been through a couple of iterations.
Mm-hmm.
None of which have been particularly good, in my opinion. But that's, I don't think anyone has good decks. But I was like, all right, you know. Yeah, you two,
what does that mean?
Cody,
I got bad decks?
When's the last
time you
got bad
decks?
Please.
it's been a hot minute. I was doing some bad math the other day. I could have had an easy victory, and I didn't.
But I was trying to figure out what deck to do for this month. And, you know, I think it was you were like, just do Ishin. It was you and our friend Nick.
Mm-hmm.
He said, just do Ishin, but, like, do your own thing with it. And what my own thing with it is Goblin Tribal, which is not what most people think of when they see Ishin. You know, even you go on EDH Rec, there are 18 Goblin Tribal Ishin decks. So I'm one of...
I think when we first brewed this, it was only 16. So you've added to that count.
Look at that. So it just... I don't know. I liked the colors. Not so much... There's not too many goblins that have the attack triggers. There's some, but there's not too many, but there are good, you know, enchantments, sorceries, instants, artifacts. There's good things that Mardu has to offer with other things, and that's why, mm-hmm. you know, I kind of felt like it would be a good fit. As I was building it, I kind of kept on noticing that I was like, damn it, this isn't an attack trigger, this is an ETB, or this is an activated ability, and I was kind of worried that it wasn't going to work nearly as well as I was hoping that it would. But I don't know, it did pretty good when we were testing it out. You know, I finally got to play it against some people, and it did well. It even suffered a board wipe pretty early in the game that yeah. knocked out some very important pieces that I was hoping to utilize, and I was able to still come back and get a pretty big board pretty quickly. So it works. It does work.
Yeah, it's I enjoyed it a lot when I was testing it. I think like the beauty of goblins is that they're so low to the ground that like you can suffer a board wipe but still turn around and like still build back up like you did. You built back up very quickly.
And I built back up without any graveyard recursion, which there's a lot of in this deck, because the one good thing about goblins is that there's a lot of them that focus on bringing goblins from the from your graveyard back to the battlefield or back to your hand. So I didn't even get to any of those cards. These were just, you know, granted, I only had, I think, when I won, I think I had no cards in hand. I was top decking at that point. So that is something I did notice, but, you know.
Yeah. So obviously you talked about this with me a lot, but what was the reason you kind of brewed this deck, and like, what was your kind of goals as you were going over it?
Well, like I said, I thought it was a great commander when I saw it. Ishin, Two Heavens as One. It is it's red, white, black for a 3/4 human samurai. It says, if a creature attacking causes a triggered ability of a permanent you control to trigger, that ability triggers an additional time. So every time you attack, any attack trigger happens twice. So I thought that was just very strong. And honestly, you know, I've told you before, I've mentioned it in podcasts many times, that what I like to do is I like to take a card that I really love, and then I like to find a way to break it. And then the best way to break it. So in this case, Krenko Mob Boss and Krenko Tin Street Kingpin. These are two cards I absolutely love. I've been playing both of these cards for literal years. But the problem is I've never played them in paper. I started playing them in Arena, and mm-hmm. it got to the point where everyone's like, when are you gonna build your goblin deck? It's like, I can't build this in paper, because sometimes it's just, you have turns where you're making hundreds and hundreds of tokens. Yeah. It's like, I can't do this on paper. So now that I'm kind of doing the Moxfield thing, it was like, you know what? This might be the perfect opportunity to get this up and running. And so I kind of just looked at the two of them, and I know it would make sense to kind of have one of them be the commander for a Goblin Tribal deck, but that's what everybody else does. And I figured, let's do something different. Let's take another commander and see if I can make these guys better than they would be if they were just on their own and better. I don't know if that's the case. Fun? I think it's definitely fun. It's a... I think we definitely, I had fun playing it. I had fun testing it. So it was, that's why I built it kind of, though. It was kind of take an unconventional tribe with an unconventional or super popular commander and see if it would work.
Yeah. And I think it works really well. I think, you know, there's, I want to say about 8 attack triggers from just the goblins themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, when we played the other night, you had just 2 of them, and each time you attacked, you were making at least 2 to 5 goblins, because the one you had was flipping coins, so it was kind of a luck one.
Yeah.
But still, we'll say, it's kind of funny to hear you talk about, like, I couldn't do it in paper because it's too many tokens, but then your computer almost melted at the All number right. of tokens you were making at one point.
I don't have a very good computer, and for whatever reason, when I play on Moxfield, and I have Moxfield up, Spell Table up, and then I have OBS up streaming, it's just a very delicate system. So when I'm like, oh, you know, let me use the spell table feature of flipping dice or flipping coins or rolling dice, sometimes it goes and it just starts getting slower and slower. Then I start sounding like a robot. Yep. My mouse does the thing where it leaves the long trail of cursors it goes.
Yeah.
So that did happen. So I just resorted to I'm rolling six dice over here, evens or heads, and you have to believe me. It's like, oh, yeah. how do we know we can trust you? I'm like, well, I rolled six, I made one goblin. They're like, okay.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, we trust you. You're good. So obviously, the way we win this deck is we're just making tons of goblins. We're hoping to get a couple of attack triggers that make them huge. I mean, you got some enchantments that are either giving them +4/+4 or +2/+0 for the number creatures attacking. Same thing with there's a couple goblins that do similar things. Goblin War Driver gives everything Battle Cry, which gets +1/+0 for each attacking, which will then just become +2/+0. So that's kind of like a mini shared animosity on a creature there.
Mm-hmm.
And one big thing was,
which is great.
Yeah. You had Goblin King out, which gave goblins +1/+1 at Mountain Walk.
Mm-hmm.
And two of us were playing red, so we couldn't block you.
That was fantastic. That was
very strong.
And that, you know, that's not a very strong card otherwise. All goblins gain Mountain Walk and get +1/+1. So that's just a good goblin tribal card, and it worked really well because a lot of people splash red just for whatever reason. And I was able to capitalize on that. You know, there's options to play, what is it, Blood Moon, so that all non-basic lands are mountains. But
yeah,
I try not to mess with people's lands, and I consider that messing with people's lands. So I didn't do that, but there's always the option.
There is always that option. One day you're just going to go a little off the rails, and that's going to be the moment.
That's when I'm going to blow up all basic lands and turn all non-basics into mountains.
But with you diving into black and white, you also get a couple options of protecting your creatures. Because like a big issue, because I looked at making a goblin deck for a while. Because when I played Magic one time back in like high school, college days, and my buddy was teaching me, and he was like, "Here's a goblin deck. It's easy. Play goblins, hit face." And I was like, "Okay." But one of the big issues is that if your board is wiped, you can rebuild pretty quickly, but the issue is you have to rebuild. And if someone didn't get wiped out by that board wipe, you are on the back foot a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So you have Clever Concealment, Flawless Maneuver, Teferi's Protection, just ways to kind of get yourself out of there if it's looking like your very solid board is going to get wiped.
Yeah.
And also, I think you get better options for removal.
Absolutely.
Just red doesn't really have a lot going for it.
And that's kind of I try not to run, there's staples in Magic. There just are, Soul Ring, Arcane Signet. If you're playing white, it's Swords of Plowshares and stuff. But I really try not to run Teferi's Protection in every single deck just because, even though I'm building decks digitally, I like to pretend like I'm building them by buying the cards. So it's kind of, I'm not looking to shell out $40 every single time I build a deck just for Teferi's Protection. So I try not to put it in every deck unless it absolutely needs it. This is a deck which I think needs a lot of protection because of board wipes. You get a lot of creatures out. They're all very cheap, so there's going to be a lot of turns where you're able to play a lot of creatures, and the last thing you want is to play six of the cards in your hand, and then there's a board wipe, and it's like, well, shit, now I'm top decking and I got nothing to do. So that's the only reason why I'm running Teferi's Protection, Flawless Maneuver, Clever Concealment. Usually I'd pick one of those to run in the deck. I'm playing all three of them because I'm doing whatever I can to protect my board. Because I even told what happened?
Sorry.
I see you making
this
faces.
This is breaking
here.
News on the air. Our friend Nick is going to be a father.
Oh, jeez. Well, look
Hell
at
yeah.
that.
Congrats, Nick.
I just got that text
he
message,
He listens
too.
To this podcast. Sorry, cool. Oh, my gosh. That's so awesome. Sorry, I looked down and saw it, and I was like, whoa, hold on. So back to what we were talking about. A lot of protection for these creatures, that because if not, they're going to die, and we're just playing on the back foot.
Got distracted now. Turn off your phone, yeah. Cody. What are you doing?
sorry.
So I told you that there was a mantra to this deck, a theme for this deck. Do you remember what that was?
It was get in.
You gotta say the whole thing.
It was get in, deal damage.
No.
Get out. No.
Get in. Get off. Get out.
Get in. Get off.
That is the goal of the deck. So this is not a nice deck to play because I think it was turn three and I was already swinging a couple of creatures at a couple of different people and stuff like that. Is this isn't a deck of, all right, let me slowly build up my board state. This is get as big as possible, as fast as possible, and do your damage before you're screwed. Because you can't get screwed in this deck. A board wipe, that sets you back two or three turns. A board wipe and then someone exiles your graveyard, you're top decking and hoping for the best. So this is very much so a deck where do your damage while you can, and you can't afford to be patient with it. So that's why I just have a lot of those protection cards in there.
Yeah. During that whole conversation about protection, I really expect you to go, the reason there's a lot of protection here, because goblins like to fuck. But anyways, that's what I thought you were going to go with that.
Why would that be where I go with
it? I don't know. It just seemed like something you would say in the moment, Les. All right, but yeah. Let's talk about some breakdown and some stats for the deck.
Goblins that like to fuck.
Goblins like to fuck. We have 39 creatures, including our commander. We have 5 sorceries, 10 incense, 6 artifacts, 5 enchantments, and 35 lands. Pretty good, healthy, count of everything. I'm really proud of you for the lands. I really expected this to be another 33 lander.
I really want 33. This is going to be 30 because it's so low to the ground.
Oh my god. I mean, yeah, it's fair, but like, oh,
it's,
man,
so low to the ground. There's lots of recursion. It's not, but I don't know. I figured I was able to afford 5 extra slots because, thankfully, believe it or not, there's some goblins aren't as strong as other goblins. So, I figured I'd rather put the land instead of just a 2-2 body that didn't really have any synergy with the commander or any of the artifacts or whatever. So I put a couple more lands in there because I have been noticing that I've been getting mana screwed a lot more lately. So,
My God, I'm so proud of you.
No, it sucks. I hate wasting 35 spots in my deck for land, but here we are.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't we go over a couple of your favorite cards that you put into the deck? Because, you have 39 creatures, including your commander. So that's a lot of creatures to work with. Whereas, sorceries, incense, artifacts, and enchantments, we don't have as much. So why don't we go over a couple of those?
All right. My two favorite creatures that I think are in this are Goblin King, which is the...
very good.
It's one generic mountain and a mountain for 2/2 goblin. All goblins gain mountain walk and get +1/+1. So this is just it doesn't have synergy with the commander. It doesn't really make anything broken, but man, it makes your goblins have mountain walk. So if anyone has a mountain, you're able to just swing pretty much everything in. Of those 38 creatures, I think 33 of them are goblins. I think there's 5 non-goblins in the deck? I don't think that many going through.
No, I think you have mainly all goblins.
Yeah.
The only non-goblins you have are Purphoros, God of the Forge.
And
Ishin.
And Ishin, yeah, that might be it. So, look at that. Pretty much gives you deck unblockable.
Yeah.
The other favorite creature that I have, which if I ever did build just a straight-up mono red goblin deck, this would be the commander, is Muxus, Goblin Grandee. I love this card. This came out in Jumpstart, and I remember I opened it in the first Jumpstart pack that I bought, which was fantastic. At the time, it was like a $40 card. It was absurd. Oh, wow. And I really liked it, but I didn't build it just because I didn't feel like dealing with all the goblin tokens.
Fair.
But this has prepare for a wall of text. It's 4 generic, a red and a red for a 4/4 goblin. When Muxus enters the battlefield, reveal the top six cards of your library. Put all goblin creature cards with CMC 5 or less from among them onto the battlefield and the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. So first off, that's great because there are a couple of ways in here to manipulate your deck. Was a goblin recruiter? That's a creature when it comes in. You can take, search your library for any number of goblin cards, reveal them, shuffle your library, put them on top in any order you choose. So you're able to kind of manipulate the top of your deck with a couple of things there. So that's great right there. But then on top of that, he has a second ability. Whenever Muxus attacks, so this does work with Ishin, whenever Muxus attacks, it gets +1/+1 until end of turn for each other goblin you control. So he's really getting +2/+2 for every other goblin you control. And that might not sound as good as it really is until you sit down and play the deck and realize that, you know, at certain points, it's really, really easy to have like 20, 30, 40 goblin tokens. You're able to get to a point where the more you have, the more you can make. And so you can just pump that up huge. So say you only have 20 goblin tokens. I know I say only, but it does happen pretty easily. So, okay, Muxus now gets +40/+40, which is insane. So, it's just, I think that's a really fun card, and that's a very sneaky way to, you know, be able, if someone's not expecting a +40/+40 coming at them, and then, you know, they have red, so you have Mountain Walk, because he's a goblin, you're able to just kind of go through defenses, or you have, what was that other card, the Clamor Shaman, which, whenever he attacks, you can make it so a target opponent can't block with a creature, you can kind of do that, and sneak him in that way. I think Muxus is definitely a game winner if you can get him out there at the right time.
Yeah, I definitely think there is a few attack trigger goblins in this deck, but the ones that are in here they're strong, like they do a lot, and Muxus is definitely one of those, especially with the ability to get six goblins potentially on the field if you have a bunch of low cost ones.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that the triggers order, you could potentially just keep getting Muxus bigger and bigger because you can have a goblin who makes goblins when they attack trigger first and then have Muxus trigger. So, like, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, that's the good. Goblins are, I think Goblin Tribal's just strong in general. So mm-hmm. it's kind of how you want to take advantage of it because all the goblins have synergy with each other. They all kind of very much so help each other, where this one makes a lot of tokens, and then depending on the amount of tokens you have is how big this one can get, and depending on how big this one gets is how many tokens you can make. So there's a lot of synergy, I think, more so than a lot of other tribes. You know, I'm the tribal guy, so I play lots of vampire tribal, angel tribal, I have a elemental tribal, but I think goblins are probably my favorite just because they all do work so well with each other. And then you're able to sacrifice goblin tokens to regenerate another goblin that died. Or you're able to sac one to get protection. So they all very much so help each other. And that's why I liked Ishin. Because, yeah, not every goblin's going to benefit from my commander's ability. But when it does, it's gonna be worth it. You know, it's not going to be just giving everything a +1/+1 or a +2/+2. It's going to be several things happening all at once. Which we saw the other night. I was attacking, and then I pretty much just had to go down the line. Like, all right, I have this guy out, so I'm going to tap down him and him. I have this guy out, so I'm going to flip six coins. I have this guy out, so I'm going to be able to make this many tokens. It's just, you go straight down the line of all your triggers, and it pops off. It really does.
Yeah. As far as creatures, I have a couple. And one is Battle Squadron. Mainly because it is a bunch of goblins in a tiny little ship. It is 3 generic red for a creature goblin. Has flying, and Battle Squadron's power and toughness are equal to the number of creatures you control. Well, what did you have the other day? Like, I want to say like 16 creatures? No, it was no, more
I,
than that. Yeah.
I had 16 tokens.
Yeah.
I had 16 tokens, and then I had like another 7 creatures or so.
Yeah. So that's a flying...
Flying 23 coming out.
Yeah. So I think this is good. I think this is a really good card because flyers are hard to deal with. So if you have your own flyer that's huge, can kind of help deal with them.
Absolutely. So. And this, it goes wide. It's definitely a go wide deck, so that does help.
My next one is Grenzo's Ruffians. This is two generic red-red for Goblin. Has melee. Whenever this creature attacks, it gets +1/+1 until end of turn for each opponent you attacked with a creature this combat. That's potentially plus, that's should be +3/+3 or +6/+6, I guess, with the way it triggers.
Yeah, whenever this creature attacks, it gets +1/+1. So if you attack three people, it'd be +3/+3, but it'd be +6/+6 if Ishin's out there.
So, and then whenever Grenzo Ruffian deals combat damage to an opponent, it deals that much damage to each other opponent. So if this thing is huge from any buff you're giving it, it is going to hit hard.
Yeah, hit one person that, you know, someone has mountains and you have mountain walk, you swing in at them and you're dealing the damage to the other two opponents as well. It's a it's nice little synergy there.
Yeah. And then last but not least, Krenko, 10 Street Cat, Kingpin. One of the best. Love him a lot. So, and he just, I think you went over, read him out, I'm not sure. But just in case, it's a 2 generic and a red for a legendary creature goblin. When Krenko 10 Street Kingpin attacks, put a +1/+1 counter on it, then create a number of 1/1 red goblin creature tokens equal to Krenko's power. So this triggers twice with Ishin. Can make a lot of goblins just from the various buffs you're giving, plus the +1/+1 counters going on. So really strong.
Yeah. I like them. All right. That's it for creatures. What do you want to do next? Sorceries?
Yeah.
So I have 5 sorceries in the deck, so I just had to pick one that I really liked. So I picked Relentless Assault, which is 2 generic, red and a red. Untap all creatures that attack this turn. You get an additional combat phase followed by an additional main phase. Like I said, get in, get off, get out. So I'm not a huge fan of extra combats, as you smirk right now because I've given you shit for extra combats before.
Yeah, I think you gave me a bunch of shit for that the other
day. I wouldn't say a bunch. A respectable amount. Okay. I do have some extra combats in this deck because, like I said, this is not a very nice deck. This is getting all the goblins you can, attacking, maybe do a second attack phase or a third one. Who knows? Mm-hmm. And trying to kill everybody as soon as possible because you do not have enough time to just sit around with a stack. You will lose your board state and there is not enough enchantment artifact support for you to be like, all right, well, my creatures are all gone, but at least I still have these pieces out that I could work. No, there's none of that. If you don't have your creatures, if you don't have your goblin tokens, you're kind of dead in the water. So this is very much a... Get as big as possible, as wide as possible, and then make sure you can kill at least one person before a board wipe, you know, before you lose everything. And you can build back up again, but then you know what? There's going to be another attack phase somewhere else with a different card, and hopefully you can kill the other two people. So this is, I like the sorcery. I think it fits well with this deck. It's in none
That's
of,
good. Yeah.
I don't have this in any other deck, and I do have red and several other decks. I don't play this anywhere else because I'm not a big extra combats fan, but I think in this case it is warranted.
Sure. As far as sorceries go for me, I have Kindred Charge. This is 4 generic red-red. Choose a creature type. For each creature you control of the chosen type, create a token that's a copy of that creature. Those tokens gain haste. You exile them at the beginning of the next end step. I mean, you had 23 creatures out the other day. If you had slapped this down, you would have made another 23, and you'd had a lot more triggers going off and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 46 creatures that you'd be swinging with.
And then
that'd be a lot of fun.
That's when you have Krenko Mob Boss out there, and you can just tap them to create X11 red goblin creature tokens, where X is the number of goblins you control, and you just make even more of them. I'm telling you, it's the best. Goblins get out of control, but... I'm glad I'm playing it digitally.
Yeah. We got to get that computer upgraded, though.
I think this is like Pentium 2, I think. All right.
Okay, geez. On to instance.
All right. So this is a card that I am pretty sure, because I sent you the deck, you looked at it for a couple days, and after a couple days, before you sent me back your cuts and everything, you said, hey, do you have any pet cards? I'm willing to put any amount of money that this was definitely on your cuts list until I said, no, this is a pet card. You can't cut it. Mm-hmm. So the instant I picked is Chance for Glory, which is one generic, a red and a white for an instant. Creatures you control gain indestructible. Take an extra turn after this one. At the beginning of that turn's end step, you lose the game. This is the epitome of the deck. This is taking risks. This is, you know, like I said, get as big as possible because your opponents aren't going to give you many opportunities to make, like we just said, you know, if you have that crank go out there and you make 40 plus tokens and they all have first strike haste, there's other cards that give them lifelink and death touch. Your opponents are not going to let you do that more than once. That's kind of a one trick pony. So, like I said, if you can kill somebody and then if someone tries to wipe the board or they block everything somehow or whatever case, you pop this out there, indestructible, and then you get a whole extra turn. So you can do it all again. You keep all your creatures and it's going to be even bigger this time. So hopefully you can double what your original board was and kill all three at the same time. And if not, would you even want to keep playing it anyway?
That's fair.
I'm either going to win or I'm going to die. I think that is the other motto for this deck. Win or die trying.
Yeah, that's a good motto for this one. I think where I was coming from with the whole, like, I want to cut this, is that Teferi's Protection is very actively played in this pod we are in.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, man, someone Teferi protections you after you play this, that's a real feels bad. I didn't realize that this is an instant. And so you could literally, someone could play a board wipe. You could play this. Your creatures survive. If everyone else stuff is dead, you now take that extra turn before the next person. And you just have free range to go hit everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really think about that. So for that reason, I think we allow it to stay. Also because your pet card.
It's such a fun card.
It is fun.
It's literally, I'm going to win no matter what. Or I'm going to win this turn. And this is definitely going to be my last time attacking, you know? So
probably so, yeah.
So I think that's a fun card, and it's a fun way to finish out the game. Whether you win or lose, it's kind of, hey, you know what? At least no one killed me. Killed myself.
Fair, yeah. As far as instants go, I got Clever Concealment. I like this card a lot. I just haven't found a deck I want to put it in. I've been kind of thinking about putting it in Humans, because I make so many tokens. And so I can just tap 2 to convoke it. But Clever Concealment is 2 generic white for an instant that says convoke. Your creatures can help cast this. Each creature you tap while casting this spell pays for 1 generic or 1 mana of that creature's color. Any number of target non-land permanents you control phase out. Like a mini Teferi's Protection, you're not protected, so people can kind of still swing at you, but it does keep your stuff on the board until your next turn.
And it's great, too, because with, you know, the tokens can phase out and phase back in, too. So you're not going to lose. You're not going to lose anything. And it's any number of target non-land permanents. So even if someone is swinging at you and, I don't know, you know that they have a board wipe in hand, you know something, you know they have some type of shenanigans, you can kind of pop this, phase out your important stuff, you know, even if you phase out your actual creature cards and leave all your tokens in there as blockers or whatever the case, it gives you a little bit more flexibility. So yeah, you don't have, you know, you don't get to phase out, so people can still swing at you, but you don't necessarily have to lose all your creatures, you know, to phasing out. You can definitely leave some, and it's convoke, so this is realistically a white and a white for an instant, because you're always going to have some type of goblin token out there. There's just too many token generators in here, so pretty much can look at this as a white instant, you know. So that's a very strong card. And like I said, I would run that Flawless Maneuver or Teferi's Protection. This is kind of, I'm running all three. Protect my board. If anyone's gonna kill me, it's gonna be me.
That's fair. Yeah. Moving on to artifacts, we got the best artifact in the game. About to be talked about here.
This is one that I discovered. This one I found. Oh, this one. Yes. It was a late night. You know, I was going through all my cards painstakingly. I stole this one from Cody. Cody played it in the deck, and I was like, shit, that's cool. And then it works really well with Ishin.
It does.
So Explorer's Scope. It's one generic for an artifact, and it's one to equip. It's whenever equipped creature attacks, look at the top card of your library. If it's a land card, you may put it onto the battlefield tapped. So that's great, too, because it's free land. It really is free land. And when you do have Ishin out there, you can attack and flip the card. If it's a land, put it on the battlefield. Flip a second card. If it's a land, put it on the battlefield. There's opportunity to get two lands out there, and it kind of helps you plan on what's coming next. And like I said, there are some deck manipulators in here where you can kind of arrange what your deck looks like. So, yeah, there's always the opportunity to kind of know if you're going to have two lands coming up or know what's going on. So I think that's a fun one. And you probably have the same one because all the other artifacts are Arcane Signet, Lightning Greave, Skull Clamp, Soul Ring, and Sword of the Animist. Which, by the way, you know, in case anyone else hasn't built Ishin, even though he's one of the most popular commanders at the moment, Sword of the Animist works fantastically with him. Everyone should pretty much know what it does. It's two costs and two to equip. And whenever equipped creature attacks, you may search your library for a basic land card, put it on the battlefield tapped, then shuffled. So if you have Ishin out there and you have this attacking someone, you get to search up two lands and put them on the battlefield tapped every time you attack. That's just such great value, and it's going to give you a lot of flexibility when it's your next turn and, you know, you're trying to activate some spell abilities and stuff on some of these creatures.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to enchantments. What you got, Laz?
Enchantment, I have Fervent Charge. It's generic, white, black, red. Whenever a creature you control attacks, it gets +2/+2 until end of turn. So if Ishin's out there, it's going to get +4/+4 until end of turn. So all those little 1/1 goblin tokens that you made, well, now they're all going to be 5/5s. And so,
very strong.
Yeah, you know, 41 ones going swinging out there are scary. 45 fives, even scarier. So
yeah,
it's I think this is definitely an enchantment that would need to get taken care of real quick. Otherwise, it'll end games. I really think this could end some games once you put that out there and give all your creatures +4/+4.
Yeah. For me, it's going to be Brave the Sands. This is one generic and a white for an enchantment. Creatures you control have vigilance. Each creature you control can block an additional creature. I think the vigilance is very helpful here because, like you said, you're here to get in, get out. Or get in, get off, get out.
Thank you, thank you.
This is like a little blue pill to just help them stay getting off for a little bit longer. The dick jokes are endless here.
This is the blue
chew. And then
the
ability
is
the blue chew. Hit us up for that sponsorship. Each creature you control can block an additional creature. That's very helpful because now if someone's swinging two giant things at you, one little 1/1 token can block both of them. So,
and it is nice too if you have a lot of tokens and someone's swinging, you know, like something big and trampoly at you, you're able to kind of block, you know, assign that as a blocker to, you know, that creature and another creature that might be coming in or whatever the case. So I think that is a nice card. I'm surprised you didn't go share that animosity. I thought that would be it for you.
Well, I mean, but it's really, I mean, I think shared animosity is like one of the win cons of this deck because it's a win con in one of my decks, so I definitely understand.
Share that animosity.
But also, like,
for those. What?
I think all five of these enchantments are very good.
Yeah, they all do their own thing. You know, there's only five of them. We could talk about them real quick because we already mentioned two of the three. There's the Brave the Sands, Fervent Charge, Share the Animosity. Whenever a creature you control attacks, it gets +1/+0 until end of turn for each other attacking creature it shares a creature type with it. You got your 40 goblin tokens. You have this out there. All your creatures are going to get +2/+0 for each other. So if you have 40 other goblins, you're going to have, what, +80/+0 on all your creatures that are attacking? It's absurd. Yep. Absolutely very absurd. Good. I don't think any other tribes can take more advantage of this card than Goblin Tribal. Really, right?
No.
Mardu Ascendancy. Do that real quick. Whenever a non-token creature you control attacks, put a 1/1 red goblin creature onto the field. And then you could always sack it. Creatures you control get +0/+3 till end of turn. A little protection if you do need for whatever reason. And plus it just helps you get your tokens out there. Like I said, you really want to always have tokens because a lot of this deck counts on either blocking with tokens, attacking with tokens, or sacking tokens.
And that sack effect is really good because we have a friend who plays the toughness matters instead of a power.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too.
That'd so you sack this, suddenly you've got a couple of plus threes going on.
And the last enchantment, Goblin Bombardment. This is a fun one, too, because it's sack a creature. Goblin Bombardment deals one damage to any target. So when you have all those tokens, say a board wipe's coming, be like, all right, hold on. I don't have any protection, so let me just sack my 40 goblin tokens and kill you. you always have that ability to kind of just to sack them at instant speed, and you don't have to pay anything for it. So I think they're all good enchantments. We just talked about our favorite ones, but there's only 5 in the deck. The 5 do help, but
yeah, I like them.
And how about lands? Lands sometimes are hit or miss with how helpful they are. Did you get any lands?
I like the Auntie's Hovel. You know, it's a goblin themed land. I always like a nice when a tribal deck can have a land that helps them.
Mm-hmm.
So this is as Auntie Hovels and comes into play, you may reveal a goblin card from your hand. If you don't, it enters tapped. You have 36 goblins in this deck. I would hope you can reveal one to make sure this doesn't come in tapped if you need it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good one. I have Den of the Bugbear. It just has the ability on it that you can pay 3 generic and a red until end of turn. Den of the Bugbear becomes a 3/2 red goblin creature with whenever this creature attacks, create a 1/1 red goblin creature token that's tapped and attacking. So efficient's out there. You have a land that you can kind of just turn into a 3/2 that's going to make you 2 tokens. So once again, just giving you some tokens just so you have a little bit more flexibility from your other cards. And that's it. That's my deck, man.
Yeah, I like it a lot. You had a lot of fun playing it the other day, which I'm really happy about. You were just over there fucking giddy to make goblins, so I'm glad. Okay. Moving on to cuts and ads.
Oh yeah, this is a weird one.
This is a part of the show. Weird one because I have 10 ads and only 5 cuts.
Giving me some options.
Because we are kind of limited with the number of goblins that like we can have and things like that, I was like, yeah, I just really don't want to cut a lot of these. A lot of your instants and sorceries are good. Your enchantments are good. Artifacts are good. We're not cutting lands. We're sticking under 35. So I was like, you know what? We're going to do 10 additions, 5 cuts.
I have to admit something, Cody. The deck did start with 36 lands.
Oh, okay. You know what? I'll take that. I've also kind of been going down to 35 from 36.
I cut a land for creatures because I was like, gotta have this in there.
So let's talk about some additions. You know,
all right.
Let's get these 10 out the way, and then we can talk about the 5 cuts. All right. First one. Be honest with us. This one is mainly just because I'm trying to get you as many tokens as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it's a kind of a stinker a little bit. Think this is even one you don't like. This is a Bogart Mob. This is 3 generic and a black for a creature goblin warrior. It has champion a goblin. When this comes into play, you sacrifice it unless you remove another goblin you control from the game. When this leaves play, that card returns to play. My thought here is that if you can champion an ETB goblin, mm-hmm. you can have it leave. This is to get you another ETB or something. I think you had a couple ETBs that were actually pretty decent. This is just You know, maybe you can do this to a Muxus to get
Munitions Expert. Enters the battlefield, like have it deal damage to target creature equal to the number of goblins you control.
Yeah, things like that. That was kind of my thought there.
Mm-hmm.
The other part of it says, whenever a goblin you control deals combat damage to a player, you may put a 1/1 black goblin rogue creature token into play. And it's a 5/5. 4 mana for a 5/5, pretty decent. It's already going to get buffed from all your other anthems and all that. The ability to get a second ETB is really good. Making another token when you deal damage, like you said, you're trying to swing wide, you're gonna get that damage in. You're just replacing one of those tokens that might get blocked.
That second effect, I think, is really nice, just because I am going to have so many tokens going out there. So, whenever a goblin, so your tokens do count. So if you're swinging a ton of tokens out there, you might lose some, but you might gain some more back if you're doing, you know, if someone can't block and you hit them with 10 1-1 goblins, you get to make 10 new tokens. So that that second ability is actually quite nice on there.
Yeah. So next up, I got two cards. So, you know, Ishin is our commander. But you know what a commander needs? A right hand and a left hand to just fucking punch people with. So first up, we have Commissar Severina Rain. This is a one generic, a white and a black for a human soldier. I know we're doing goblin tribal here.
Hey.
But I think if we can, you know.
Unlikely alliances sometimes, you know.
There we go. Whenever Commissioner Severina Rain attacks, each opponent loses X life, where X is the number of attacking creatures. We're going wide.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of damage. Also, triggers twice from Ishin.
That's true.
Attacking.
Oh, that is true. That could be a win con, too, because whenever he attacks. Yeah, so even if you just attack with 40 tokens or attack with 20 tokens and he's out, then you could just. Go. And Ishin's out too. You just have everyone lose the game. They'll deal 40 damage to each opponent.
Pretty good.
All right.
Secondary effect. Pay 2 mana. Sacrifice a creature. Gain 2 life. Draw a card. A little bit of card draw. A little bit of life gain. You have these tokens to play with.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is just a really easy card to kind of get a lot of benefit out of.
Oh, absolutely. That's a very nice card. I like that.
So that's the right hand. Now we're going to the left hand. This is Mishra, claimed by Gix. This is 2 generic, a black and a red for a Phyrexian human artificer. Whenever you attack, each opponent loses X life and you gain X life, where X is the number of attacking creatures. It has a second part about the Phyrexian dragon engine and you can flip it into a 9/9.
We don't care.
We're not
about
there
that.
For that. We're there for that first part. It's an attack trigger. You have a lot of tokens. Get X life, gain X life. So that's kind of shared animosity or like pumping up our creatures. That's our main win con. These are fallback win cons in my mind, where you can just drain and gain the board.
I really like that. You showed me this and I kind of just breezed through that top part and then started reading about the Phyrexian dragon engine and flipped the card. And I'm like, man, all right. You know, I kind of looked at it like that, but that top part, whenever you attack, so it's not even combat damage, it's not even dealing any type, it's just whenever, and he doesn't even have to attack either, it's just you attacking in general. So each opponent loses X life, you gain X, where X is number of creatures, and that doubles from Ishin. So same thing, you got 20 tokens out there, all you have to do is turn them sideways and you win the game, whether
pretty
they connect
much.
Or not.
Yeah, so
that's nice. That is nice. That is a quick way to win the game.
Yeah, I like those two. Those two, like, whenever I was like looking at Ishin a long time ago, and I was like, man, why would you not play these cards? But so here you go. You have an option to play them.
I like too that they are cards that can easily win the game, and they're not super expensive. Like Commissaire Severina is 3 CMC. Mishra's 4 CMC. So Mishra's maybe a little bit more, but. This is sometimes
still low to the ground.
Yeah,
really.
Well, because sometimes when we do cuts and adds, it's like, all right, you should add this card, and it's like a 7 mana card. It's like, well, I can't justify cutting a 2 cost creature, a 2 cost artifact to add this 7 cost card. But this, I'm almost positive I have a 3 CMC goblin in here that's just kind of not pulling its weight as much as it could. So that's great. I like that.
All right.
Those are two good ones, and both those probably make the cut.
Yeah, good. All right, next up. You know who goblins are best friends with?
Who?
The orcs.
Really?
They are.
I'm not a nerd. I wouldn't know
that. Lord of the Rings, World of Warcraft, all this fantasy stuff. They're all friends.
Well, I'm going to start playing Baldur's Gate tomorrow, so I'm sure I'll find out.
Hey, there you go. Pretty sure there's some goblins and orc love going on there. First up, this name rules. This is Gorbag of Minas Morgul. This is one generic and a black for an orc soldier. Whenever a goblin or orc you control deals combat damage to a player, you may sacrifice it. And when you do, you choose one. Draw a card, create a treasure token. So this is mainly, hey, I saw that you were, you know, your hand was dwindling.
Mm-hmm.
Let's find a way to get you cards back. And so these, with as many tokens as you're making, you know, sacking one here and there, I think, is the best way to get a card back. Or in a pinch, when you need that one extra mana for like a Ruinous Ultimatum or something, like your commander gets taken out a lot because Ishin is going to drive a lot of hate.
Mm-hmm.
There's a treasure token to kind of help you get your game plan back in action.
I like that. That's I like the cards. Like I said, at the end of the game, I was top decking. So thankfully, yeah, I won, because if not, I was going to have to scoop. Because, you know, I had nothing going on. So, no, that is nice. And, yeah, thinking about it now, because I didn't even think about putting a Reliquary Tower in this deck, just because I thought there would never be the situation. But if something like that, it might be worth just swapping out a land for it, because who knows? Maybe I can have multiple cards in hand when I'm playing goblins.
Maybe so. All right. Next up on the orc train, we got Orcish Siege Master. Not as cool as a name, I know.
It's Gorbag.
Two generic and a red for an orc soldier has trample. Other orcs and goblins you control have trample.
Very nice.
When Orcish Siege Master attacks, it gets +X/+0 until end of turn, where X is the greatest power among creatures you control. It's a 0/5. Couple things happening here. Mm-hmm. One, we're giving our goblins trample. If you can get your goblins really big with a shared animosity or anything that pumps them up, now you're trampling over, so your goblins aren't as puny now.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, when he attacks, he gets +X/+0, where X is the biggest. Remember you were saying that Muxus was going to be pretty big?
Yeah.
He's going to get double as big. That's going to trigger twice.
And he has trample, so it doesn't matter.
He has trample.
He's only a 5 toughness. If he's an 80... An 80 power, 5 toughness, but trample, it's kind of nice.
Drop that transfer glory, swing again. You're taking people out left and right.
Yeah.
Thirdly, it's a 0/5. That's a pretty good blocker for when you don't want to have to like throw a goblin in front of something. I like this card all around. I think it, you know, my big thing was like, okay, well, like, you're getting Mountain Walk, you're getting all these +1/+1s, we're pumping up your stuff, but we got to give them like the ability to get over and like
chump blockers,
or get around.
Yeah.
And like Nick had suggested, Araeos, God of Victory, which gives all your creatures menace. And I was like, okay, well, there's that option, but here's another option, you know, indestructible versus 0/5. I think the indestructible wins, but I like the flavor of this one. I think, you know, orcs and goblins do go together.
Well, and this gives them trample. Yeah. I do like, I like that's other orcs and goblins. That's just kind of fun. Makes me rethink if I should make this, Orc Goblin Tribal. That's an idea.
Would not say no to that.
No, I have to see if there's a better commander for that.
Next up on the creature, we have... This is card draw. I'm trying to get you more card draw. This is Species Specialist. This is 2 generic, a black and a black for a human warrior. As Species Specialist enters the battlefield, you choose a creature type. Obviously, we're picking Goblin. Whenever a creature of the chosen type dies, you may draw a card. That board wipe... Well, it was an exile board wipe, but a board wipe that doesn't exile, just like a blasphemous act, isn't going to feel so bad when you're drawing 20 cards. So then, yeah, maybe that Reliquary Tower will be necessary.
Yeah. No, that's good. I was planning on not having a lot of lands or a lot of cards in hand. So that is nice to have that option, and it might be worth cutting something out for that. So, yeah, I like that. I like it. It's good. Yeah.
All right, last creature, because we're going goblins.
Mm-hmm.
We got to have the goblin avatar. This is the Reckless One. 3 generic and a red for a goblin avatar. Has haste, and his power and toughness are equal to the number of goblins in play.
Yeah.
I just like this card. I think the art looks really cool. It's just dumb. It's goblins in a nutshell. Like, I love the flavor text of release chaos with me. You know,
just
like...
all the goblins just smushed together.
Yeah.
You know,
you got an Orcus Siege Master on the field. This is out. You got 20 goblins out. You now have a hasty 20-20 just swinging with Trample. I think it's fun.
Nah, so, those are all good heads. I like this one a lot. Boggart Mob, we'll see. But
yeah.
But no.
I figured that was the one that wasn't going to get through. I feel like the other ones, I was like, okay, I feel confident about these. I feel like Boggart Mob is maybe a no.
No, I like that, though. That's good.
All right. Sorceries. Got one for you. This one is just really for a flavor win. It's Goblin Warstrike, and it's one red. And it says, Goblin Warstrike deals damage equals to the number of goblins you control to target player.
That's awesome.
If you just can't, like someone has too many blockers, they're playing a token deck, or they, you know, Teferi's Protection.
They have a Ghostly Prison and a, the other one?
There's so many of them now, like Norn's Annex and Propaganda, things like
Propaganda.
This just gets around that, where, hey, we have 40 goblins on the board.
No one, fuck you. One red.
Fuck you, you're dead. Yeah, one red mana. Here's a war strike to your face.
That's really cool. I haven't seen that card before.
Yeah.
That's, man, it's only one mana, too. That's just, like, all right, start my turn. I'm going to kill Cody. And then then move to attacks. So that's really cool. I like that.
Yeah. All right. We already got five good enchantments. I just wanted to throw a couple more enchantments at you. This is going to be a weird one because the second part of the one doesn't really make sense. Mm-hmm. But Chivalric Alliance. This is one generic and a white for an enchantment that reads, whenever you attack with two or more creatures, draw a card. The second part says, pay two, discard a card, create a 2/2 white and blue night creature token of vigilance. That one not as important. It's mainly the fact that you are constantly attacking with multiple creatures that you get to draw a card off of it that I was really going for. My big thing was just, how can we improve your card draw? How can we make goblins better? Those were my goals with these cuts and adds.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where this one's coming from. There's probably a better option out there.
I do
as
like
far
it though,
as it goes.
Well,
it's
that second
it
part doesn't help too much. I just think that's only one card, you know.
Yeah,
we're swinging everything.
It's two mana, so it's like throw us down turn two and kind of pay dividends after that.
What's the next one? This one might be a flavor one.
This is another flavor one. It's not good, but I love it. I fucking love it. This is Quest for the Goblin Lord. One red for an enchantment. It says, whenever a goblin enters the battlefield under your control, you may put a quest counter on Quest for the Goblin Lord. As long as Quest for the Goblin Lord has five or more quest counters on it, creatures you control get +2/+0. This is a turn, like, you get this in hand turn one, you're going to make five goblins by turn four. You know it. Mm-hmm. Let's just get a little +2/+0 action going.
Okay.
It's not good. I know it's not, but I love it for the flavor. If you're playing a goblin deck, I feel like you should throw this in.
You should search for the Goblin Lord.
Yeah, you should go find the Goblin Lord.
All right. So I like some of these. Goblin Warstrike is absolutely amazing. That is a great card. And that is a one mana player killer if you have enough tokens out there. So that's great. And I do like some of these creatures, but let's talk about what you had to cut, because some of these cuts I don't really agree with. So it's going to be very hard that you show me good cards and then you give me these cuts that are like, oh, I could kind of use some of these. Let's talk about that.
That's fair. Okay. So let's start with the creatures. Boggart Harbinger. This is too generic for a black. This is a goblin shaman. When it comes into play, you may search your library for a goblin card, reveal it, shuffle your library, and put this card on top of it. I feel like Goblin Recruiter is a million times better than this card.
Right. Yeah, I was just trying to find ways to get a Krenko, any Krenko, just get a Krenko out there.
That's fair.
As fast as possible, but I don't think this is as good as some of these other cards that can actually win me a game. I think being able to tutor up a Krenko isn't as good as being able to just attack with, swing out and win. So, okay. All right. Yeah. I could get behind that one. And it's 3-cost mana. It's the same cost as a Commissaire. So, I think that's an even swap. I could do that one.
Yeah. Next up is one we talked about earlier, and it's Munitions Expert. This is a red and a black.
I like it.
For a goblin with flash, when it ETBs, you may have it deal damage to target creature or planeswalker equal to the number of goblins
that's
you control.
That's the problem, is that's target creature.
Creatures are planeswalker.
Yeah. I wish it was, that's why I was any target.
Yeah, if it was target face, I'd be like all on this, but mm-hmm. I was like, Goblin War Strike. It's not flash. Like, flash is good because you can play it on someone else's turn. But I don't know. I just not a fan of it personally.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna lie. I think I might have kind of read it as to target anything. That target creature or planeswalker. That
happens sometimes.
And that does make it a lot weaker than I was originally hoping, because I do have. Since I have access to black and to white, I do have Anguish Unmaking, Chaos War, Path, Sword. I have lots of other removal that I might not need to spend it on this. So, all right. You might get me on that one.
All right. I got three sorceries. Let's start with the cheapest one first. Bogart Birthright. This is one black for a tribal sorcery goblin. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Return target goblin card from your graveyard to your hand. What is your goal with this card? Like, is this to get a Krenko back if it gets...
Honestly, get a Krenko back, get a Muxus back, get a...
That's fair.
You took out a combo piece, and I really was hoping to combo. What can I do? So I was, like I said, I was trying to get as much graveyard recursion in here as possible, just in case I do get wiped out, or someone does target my Krenko before I can tap them and make a million more tokens or something like that.
That's fair.
Kind of hoping for that, but yeah, it might be a little weak. It might be a little bit.
It's no Goblin War Strike. So that's all I'm saying.
Goblin War Strike is amazing. Yeah, no, it's not as good as Goblin War Strike. How about that?
That's fair. Next up,
these next two I don't get. These next two I do not get.
Okay. Next one is Patriarch's Bidding. This is three generic black for a sorcery. Each player chooses a creature type. Each player returns all creature cards of that type chosen this way from the graveyard to the battlefield. We talked about this in the last episode of Brewer to Screw It. There's a better card.
What card?
Haunting Voyage. Four generic black sorcery. Choose a creature type, return up to two creature cards of that type from your graveyard to the battlefield. If this spell was foretold, return all creature cards of that type from your graveyard to the battlefield instead. Its foretell cost is 5 black. So a little bit more pricey, but doesn't give
your opponents,
because I play Human Tribal, Mike plays Dinosaur. That's my thing, is that this card just benefits everyone else a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
If you're playing a pod where not anyone else is doing tribal or theme decks, it's good. But I like that foretell card that we talked about.
That is nice because you can probably just foretell it super early in the game and you might never need to use it for the whole game, or it turns out all the way at the end of the game after a board wipe, you'd be like, all right, that's what I'm going to do this and let me repopulate my whole board. So. All right. What card was that again? Sorry.
Haunting Voyage.
All right. So yeah, I might have to put that in as you listen to my clicky keyboard to type that in. All right.
Last one.
That's a lot for
I feel like tell. This is like the last card.
I love this card. I bought so many of these when they came out because I'm like this. One, I had like 3 Mardu decks at the time. And 2, it's just such a good card. I feel like you cut this because it makes you salty or because you don't want to have to deal with it.
Nope. I cut this card for one particular reason. We'll go over it in a second. This is Ruinous Ultimatum would be the card we were discussing. It is 2 red, 3 white, 2 black for a sorcery. Destroy all non-land permanents your opponents control.
Love it.
Okay. Love it. Good card.
Great card.
I'd like to glance back over. A lot of these goblins are in red.
Okay.
A lot of our lands are mainly focused on producing red.
Mm-hmm.
I just fear that the two red, three white, two black combination might be hard to pull off at times. And that's my fear.
It really depends on how you build the deck. Because since, like I said, I have the luck of having several Mardu decks already. So I was able to just justify using, you know, Godless Shrine, Savai Triome, Spectator Seat. Like, I put all my my dual lands in. And after this episode goes out, I'll probably end up changing the lands even more to, like, put some dual lands in there, you know, because, or if I build this in paper, I'll put my dual lands and stuff in there, because I do understand, and I have gotten screwed before, I will not lie, of thinking I could cast Ruinous Ultimatum, but I think the risk, you know, I think the benefit outweighs the risk, because that is...
That's fair.
That is just great. If you have a board filled with goblins, and then you're able to just completely destroy all non-land permanents your opponents control, so that's their ghostly prisons, their propagandas, all their blockers, any of their mana rocks. This is all, you know, their soul rings, their equipment. This is everything. Just wipe everyone else's board, and then it's like, all right, let's, now that I'm in, let's get off. That's what I like to say, you know?
That's fair. I know. That's the mission. That's the mission.
So that's one I really did. Patriarch's Bidding. Yeah, that is a good point. And I'm not going to lie, there has been times where I did play that in... Man, I think I played that in Edgar to bring back all my vampires. And it just didn't really work out that well because our friend Creeps was like, oh, well, I'm playing Gishith, so I'm bringing back my dinosaurs. And, you know, someone else was playing fairies, so they brought back their fairies. So it's kind of like, oh, all right.
Yeah.
You know, it's still good. I'm banking on the fact that a lot of people don't always play tribal, but...
Sure, yeah.
But your thing is, your other card's nice. It's just expensive, man. That foretell it cost is, being 7.
It is a little expensive. Yeah.
It's just, yeah. I have to think about that one. It's 2 mana more.
It's fair. Yeah.
Well, it's 2 mana. It's actually 4 mana more because it's 2 more to foretell it and then 2 to cast it at any given point. So we'll see.
I think the beauty of a foretell card is just you can do it on a turn where you don't have a lot going on. The issue is, are you not going to have a lot going on when you have such low cost of minions?
Well, and the thing is, am I not going to have anything going on when I have 7 available mana? Like, if I have 7 available mana, I feel like I should have something better to do than foretelling a card.
Yeah, that's fair.
But, I man, Goblin Warstrike, that is...
It's a good card.
That is a great card. I'm surprised I didn't come across that one, because 1-cost sorcery to kill someone if you got enough creatures is just, it's just stupid. Goblin Tribal is the best tribal. And this is coming from someone that blinged out their Angels Tribal deck and, you know, made it as fancy as possible. And it's still like, yeah, but those little red dudes are a lot better.
Pretty cool.
Sometimes.
Pretty freaking cool.
For tribal.
Those little red dudes?
They get shit. They fuck. They need the blue chew. No protection.
Last, how are we feeling about these custom ads? Pretty good?
I think I feel pretty good. Like I said, of the creatures, I really do like that you added some card draw. And not just, well, you had that one that would give me like 1 card. That one sucked. But
Chivalric Alliance? Didn't like? Gorbag?
No,
oh, Chivalric. So, okay.
You know, because that's 2 or more creatures draw a card. That one,
I was like,
eh. But Species Specialist, whenever a goblin dies, I draw a card. It's fantastic. And
Gorbag.
That's really cool, too. Whenever goblin or orc you control deals combat damage, that's good. There's only so many they can block, so it's worth it to say, all right, I'm swinging 20 1-1 goblins at you. It's like, all right, well, I'm going to block 10 of them. Like, okay, well, 10 are going to do damage. You take 10 damage, well, it might not seem like a lot, but I get to draw 10 cards, and that's going to be huge. So I really like Gorbag.
Of Minas Morgul.
Is that mono black? So... that would suck to do a mono black goblin orc deck because there's like no black goblins, but I'm sure there's a nice Rakdos commander for the two of them.
I think there's a Rakdos. Isn't the Wart, Bogart, and Auntie is the Rakdos goblin lady.
At the beginning of your upkeep, you may return target goblin from your graveyard to your hand.
Yeah. Has fear.
Does have fear.
Not
we
bad.
We could do better, but
we could do better.
That's a different show.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think it is time for the Golden Screw. Laz, what is the best card in this deck? What is the deck that helps you win? The deck that makes you happy? What do you got?
I'm really just gonna say, the Krankos. I really like the Krankos. Like, Kranko Mob Boss is just a great card that just works so well. You know, where you can tap it, create X11 red goblin creature tokens, where X is the number of goblins you control. You know, even when he's out there, you just tap it, you make two. Next turn, you tap it, you'll make three. Like, it's just, when you have all your tokens
going,
out.
Going.
Yeah. Yeah. The more tokens you get, the more effective he becomes. I think that, I really think that's a good way, but man, now I think the Goblin War Strike might be the golden screw. That's a golden brew there. That's a really cool card. I cannot get over how much fun that is, because, man, even the other night when we were playing, I didn't have as many tokens as I would have liked because there was a pretty early board wipe, but I still had 20 some odd goblins, you know, and everyone was pretty low in life pretty early in the game. So to just tap this out there and eliminate a player is the funniest thing I've ever seen. So Goblin War Strike or Kranko. Hey, Goblin War Strike or Kranko.
I'll take that W right there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
For me, I got to go Shared Animosity. I think this is a major win con in this deck when you have so many goblins swinging out. I love it in my human deck, so you're definitely getting a lot more benefit here than I am technically. So, oh yeah, man.
Yeah, like I said, I honestly don't think there's any other... Hey, you know, if you know of a tribe that benefits more, please let us know, because as far as I think, I don't really know. It works pretty well with vampires, because I do make a lot of tokens with Edgar, but nowhere near as many tokens as this, obviously. Like I said, Kranko, it gets to the point where you can just tap it to make 20 tokens. So whenever it attacks, +1/+0 for each other. Yeah, it's stupid, because then you got Ishin, so it's going to be +2/+0.
It's really good.
That's a great card, too. That's a good way to win the game. So, hey, man, I like this deck. I really do like this deck. I've been wanting to build a goblin deck for a while, and I like that I was able to take the 6th most popular commander on EDH Rec and build a deck that there's only 18 other.
Yeah. other, <so. laughs> That's fair. Yeah.
Well, it's funny, because I was giving shit to our friend the other night, because he came out with the weirdest commander partners I've ever seen before. It was Bile Smasher and some
Rayhan.
It was weird. It didn't do anything it was supposed to, really. It just kind of sucked. And I looked on EDH Rec. I was like, man, there's only 380 decks of these partners. Like, where do you even find this from? And he said he saw it online. It looked fun, whatever. But I was like, you know what? Let me see what Ishin Goblins are. 18. I was like,
yep.
All right, maybe I shouldn't say anything.
Yeah, that was a moment for sure. All right. Well, Laz, I guess it's time for the final question of the show.
It's the easiest question of the show. Every time it's my turn.
Should we say brew it or screw it?
This is a brew. This is absolutely a brew. I made it on Moxfield. I love it. I've already started pulling cards from my collection and from other decks I don't play as much to build this in person, because I know the token problem's going to annoy me, but I'm hoping the money I can save by pulling from other decks I can use to just buy, like I said, I want to buy a full Saturn Pro Tower filled with just goblin tokens. just show up with a deck box for my deck and a deck box just of goblin tokens and be like, all right, let's do this. I'm all popped up on Blue Chew, ready to fuck.
Blue Chew. Really getting that subscription money. Yeah. We got to get you an altar of Ishin, where instead of Ishin being a human samurai, he's a goblin samurai.
You know what?
Just a little goblin samurai holding little katanas.
Yeah, like the ankle shanker. He's got the cool little the swords there. There's lots of swords in these arts, so we could do it. I think we could do it.
We'll work on it.
I'll get my cousin's wife.
I would agree with you. This is definitely a brew.
this is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a good deck. I enjoyed seeing you have fun with it. It sucked to get hit by like 20 goblins at one point, but it was cool.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, guys, that's going to do it. Hey, be sure to click all the buttons, do all the things.
Do all the things.
Comment, like, subscribe.
We mentioned it at the beginning. The amount of listens that our episodes have been getting has just been going up and up, and that is absolutely mind-blowing, and we appreciate the hell out of it. You know, I feel like it was only 2 months ago where you texted me and you're like, I think we're going to break 500 listens.
Yeah.
And now it's, you know, now we're thinking like it might be over 1,000 this month, which is just absurd. And we really appreciate it. And we have fun doing it because this is, this is what we do anyway. You know, you and I just talk about, hey, I'm thinking about this guy, or hey, take a look at this deck I've been thinking about, and be like, hey, you know what? We should record it. And the fact that other people listen and seem to enjoy it as well is great. So really appreciate it, guys. So please make sure like, subscribe, send an email, leave a comment on Twitter, or leave a comment on iTunes, and we would read and respond to everything because that's how much we appreciate it. And keep a lookout for the giveaway. You said you're going to announce the winner this week?
Yep. The day this goes live over on Twitter and Instagram, you will see who won that. So if you didn't enter, look out for the next one in a little bit of time.
A little bit of time. Next time we have an extra pre-con to dole out.
Twitter is at Brew It or Screw It. Our Instagram is at Brew It or Screw It MTG. Email is brewitorscrewit@gmail.com. So yeah, if you want to reach out to us, you can find us there. Check out the Moxer link in the comments. And thank you guys so much again. So Les, until next time, should we say brew it?
Or screw it. It's a brew.
It's always a brew.
Yeah. It's always a brew. Bye, guys.